I see the rain pouring down before my very eyes. Should come as no surprise. I see the rain pouring down before my very eyes. Should come as no surprise. I'm searching and praying and hoping for something. I know I'm gonna see it. I know that it's coming, Lord. Lord. But what do you do when there's no place to turn? I have no one. I'm lonely. My bridges have burnt down, Lord. Lord. Bells getting loud, ain't nowhere to hide, got nowhere to go. Put away my pride, tired of feeling low. Even when I'm high, ain't no way to live. Do I wanna die? I don't know. Bells getting loud, ain't nowhere to hide, got nowhere to go. Put away my pride, tired of feeling low. Even when I'm high, ain't no way to live. Do I wanna die? I don't know. Bells getting louder.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today's guest is Melina Chavarria. She's the writer, the author, I guess, the author of an amazing comic book called The Magic Glasses. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know, guys, two back-to-back authors. What? I never thought I would get one author on the podcast. You know, and having two now, I feel good, you know. It's amazing. Like, we're gonna talk about the process of writing the comic, why she wrote the comic, and, you know, like, in between, you know, I have to add my little sarcasm in my comments, but, you know, it's all in good fun. You know, I'm just trying to have fun and entertain you guys and her at the same time. And, you know, I could only describe this episode as angel food cake, you know, because it's nice, it's fluffy, airy. You know, I enjoyed recording, and then editing was so much fun. I don't think I've ever recorded the least. I mean, this was the episode I edited the least, so hopefully I did. You know, I removed the stuff I removed was worth it, and hopefully what I kept was worth it too. I feel it is, you know. Like I said, I had lots of fun. Please go follow her. Go get her her comic book, because you know, she's very hardworking, and this comic book is really well thought out. I enjoyed the illustrations in the back, even though she didn't draw it, her partner did. And, you know, but still, I mean, it's amazing comic book, especially if you have a sister, a little sister, a daughter, you know, a niece. You know, it's kind of geared towards preteens, or, like, you know, like, for young women. But, you know, I enjoyed it, even though I'm not a young woman. I'm a little kid still, and I enjoyed it, you know. It was entertaining. And what I like about it is a Latina, Latinx woman doing something that she loves, you know, getting into a genre that's really, like, I know it's not common. At least I don't know a lot of people that are getting into comics. It's a comic book. To comic books, you know, and I love it. You know, it's amazing, it's awesome. I support her 100%. Please, like I said, go get the book. Go get the comic book. Yeah, basically the book. So go get the comic book and tell her, you know, how good it is, and give it to your little sister, to your little whoever you need to give it to, your nephew, your niece. It's not exclusively for little girls. It's geared towards them. But, you know, you can still learn a lesson whether you're a boy or a girl. Don't matter. You know, the sex don't matter. Just I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think that's all I'm gonna say, because I know I tend to go overboard and start talking a lot about the stuff, and that's the whole point of having her on. I want you guys to hear from her mouth, okay? But before I let you guys go, I just want to tell you where you can pick up her comic books. So you can pick them up at Pipe and Thimble in the city of Lomita, Heidi Ho Comics in Santa Monica, or if you live in Vegas, you could pick up Alternate Reality Comics or I Want It to Be Comics. But if you want it sent to your home, all you have to do is send her a DM and she'll make that happen, guys. All right. So a little update on my life. I'm enjoying living on my own, man. Even though it gets lonely, like by myself for most of the time, but I enjoy the silence. If I want to do something, I'll do it. You know, I don't have to check up or anything. No, it's basically the same life I was living. The only thing is I pay 2 rents. I still help my mom with the rent, with all the bills that I was paying, and on top of that, I'm paying the bills on my place. So nothing's really changed. The only thing that has changed is I sleep somewhere else, you know, and it's all farther. I mean, I live farther from my job, and that's it. But it's all good. I'm just enjoying it, you know. Right now, I'm just furnishing and, you know, and rearranging stuff, you know, finish unpacking. So yeah, I mean, it's fun. I love it. All right, and we got a question. We got some questions. I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate you guys just talking to me. To be honest with you, like, I've been asking you guys to talk to me, and for you guys to actually do it, that's awesome. All right, I think she asked, or her handle is like Yankney. Yeah. So, hey, thank you for listening, first of all, and thank you for asking some questions. So she, what she wrote is, that was a great episode. Oh, thank you. You say you're not funny, but, I had a couple of those moments that fell out. So she's referring to the meme I posted of like, that lady looking at her phone. And, she says, I'll post my questions here. You say you want to be somebody. What was it? What is driving you to be a public somebody? So I don't think it's driving me to be a public somebody. The only reason why it's public is because I like entertaining. I like making people laugh. I want to be an entertainer. That's really my goal. Not as much as a public person. Like, I guess it comes with it, because I do eventually want to go into radio or be a reporter. Like I guess interview people. Like, I'm having a lot of fun in getting to know so many amazing people. I enjoy asking questions. I have a lot of questions, you know. Like, I wonder a lot, and I like to know, you know. Basically, I don't do my research through Google. I just like asking people questions, you know. I find it way more interesting, and I have more fun this way. It just happens that, you know, it's in the public eye what I want to do, and I mean, I feel like I'm somewhat entertaining, and you guys stomach me every week. You guys are somehow listening to me right now. So, I mean, there's a reason, right? So I just want to keep on the path that I'm in right now. I feel like I'm growing little by little, you know. It's not a lot, but I feel like I am making some progress, you know. Like, you guys are more consistent with the questions, and I really appreciate that, you know. I like talking to you guys. I like getting to know the people that are listening to me, because this gets kind of lonely. I mean, at least for me, it gets kind of lonely. I'm sitting in an empty ass fucking apartment. I have nobody to talk to. I forget what I'm about to say next. Like, all this shit is random, and having like something like a question that kind of like keeps me on track of what I'm gonna say, like, it excites me. Like, oh, I know I'm gonna do this at least. Like, my intro is going to not be a lot about me, but at least I'm going to get to talk to somebody. Somebody asks something, and I inform them, because I don't feel very knowledgeable in a lot of things. But if you ask me a question, I think about it, and I try and answer it the best that I can, you know? And she also wrote, I believe it's a she, because this is La Jenny. I believe, like, I think it's, she's, her name is Jenny, La Jenny, but I don't know. Hopefully if that's not your name, I'm sorry. If it is, tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? But, you know, I do not consider myself a comedian. I do comedy, but I don't do it consistently enough where I consider myself a comic. Sometimes I go out and I do tell jokes, but it's not enough for me. You know, I wish I was doing it more often. But, you know, unfortunately, like, I work nights, and the times that I would go up, it'd be pretty late. You know, I feel I need to go get some sleep. And now that I have my own place, like, it's farther than where I was, and I do have to be up at a certain time now. Like, before, I didn't give a fuck. I would just go in whenever I woke up. But now I have to be, like, I have to make sure I get some amount of hours so I can pay my bills, you know? Like, there's more responsibility on me. So, I mean, that's all she wrote, or he wrote. I don't know. That's all this person wrote, okay? So, please, if you have any more questions, you know, I would love to answer them. If you guys want to have a conversation, please send me your questions to Let Me Know Pod on my Instagram or my Facebook, or you can email me at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. I love it, man. I don't know. I love talking to you guys, even though I'm doing most of the talking. To be honest, this is actually helping me be a better listener, because before I would try like just get all my words out, and I still do it. You know, I still have the habit of doing and cutting people off to say what I gotta say. But you know, now I have to listen, because like you have to come up with the response, or like elaborate on what they said or something like that. That I have to now pay attention. You know, like before it was like, okay, well, this is what I'm gonna say, and I was focused on that, and I want to make sure I say it. And now like, okay, you know, like I like that it's free, you know, like we could take it wherever it wants to go, the conversation. And you know, I feel, I mean, it's kind of loose, like the interview's kind of loose. I do have like some questions, but it's not like I don't have to ask them, you know, like if I want to ask something else, you know. And it's just the questions I have for them is just to guide me, you know, to kind of guide the interview, but it's not necessary. But before I go, I gotta let you guys know about this week's sponsor, Synesthesia Boutique. What? She's back, guys. That's right, she's back. So you might be asking, what's synesthesia? Synesthesia is an ordinary word, which means words have taste, names have color, and numbers glide into space. People with synesthesia consider it an extra ability, kind of like a sixth sense. It's in the city of Wilmington. Everything's under $30, and new inventory comes every Friday. So make sure you stop by and get yourself something, a nice outfit for the weekend, and you pick up one of my stickers. Yep, that's right. She has some stickers in there. So if you live close and you want a sticker and you don't want to send me a message, maybe you're shy, you could just pick it up there. Hopefully you guys enjoy that podcast. You know, I'm episode 30, guys, I think, right? 30 or 29, I think it's 30. And you know, like I didn't ever expect it to last 30 episodes. Like I thought I was gonna do 5 and then run out of people. But you know, I have people asking me to come on, and I have like, that's amazing, you know, like your support, people asking me for stickers. If you guys want a sticker, just send me a DM. They're completely free. So DM me the place, the address where you want it at, and I'll make it happen, you know, free of charge. I just, the only reason why I do is because I want you guys to have a little piece of me, you know. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate you guys just listening to me for the length of the podcast. I know some of them are 2 hours long, but you know, like, think about, would you think I could get to know you in less than an hour or less than 2 hours, you know, like, or what you do or your passion or why you do it? Like, that takes time, guys. So, you know, I appreciate that you guys are patient and you guys go through it. And I feel like I do. I mean, I add some comedy to keep it light, you know. And this one, like, honestly, like, when I edited it, went by super quick. I just want to thank you guys. You know, I always thank you at the end, but I want to thank you in the beginning too. You know, I appreciate your support. It means a lot to me. It's giving me somewhat of a guidance, you know. But I do want to hear from you guys. So why don't you leave a review telling me which episode is your favorite and why, okay? I'll pick somebody at random and I'll send you something special. It's gonna be a sticker and something else, a surprise, all right? And also, right now I'm doing a giveaway of Martin's book, 21 Miles of Scenic Beauty. So come on, all you gotta do is tag a person, and that's it. Easy. Tag a person, but both of you guys have to be following me and Marty on Martin. So it's Marty Moose at on his Instagram. So all you gotta do is be adding me. Hopefully you're adding me already. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? You could do it now. All right, while you're listening to the podcast, all you gotta do is just press that button. Two buttons. Press the follow buttons for both of us, and that's it. You'll get a free book and a marker. And a bookmark, sorry. And I'll send one of my stickers right there with the book. So I'm doing two separate giveaways. One is whoever leaves the best review on iTunes, I'll send you something. Two, the other review is the book. I'm going to send you a free book for you and your friend. Okay? For you and your friend. So keep it to one. Okay, to one person. And at random, I'm going to pick the winner. So far, I have one entry. But she chose to tag a bunch of people. And they're all following me. So it works out, you know. But I'm not going to send it to all four. Like, I think she tagged four people. I'm not going to send it to all four because I don't got money like that, all right? My next giveaway, guys, it's going to be the comic book. The comic book we're talking about, all right? So I'm going to add. So to that, I'm also going to add my sticker, all right? So that's going to be the following week. So the winner is going to be chosen on Friday for the book. And for the comic book, the winner will be chosen next Friday. The same rules. All you have to do is follow me and be following at the Magic Glasses on Instagram, okay? Just be following both of us. Hopefully you guys are already doing it. Hopefully you're doing it now. I had lots of fun. Hopefully you guys have a lot of fun listening to this, all right? And if you did, remember to leave a review on iTunes. I'm also on Stitcher now, so make sure Stitcher's easier for you to use. Leave me a review, recommend me to your friends, force them to listen to me, all right guys? And please screenshot the picture so I can know who left the review, because if you just leave it there, I might not know who is it by, and I want to send you something. All right, well, I'll talk to you guys in a little bit. I gotta go to the bathroom real quick. All right, see ya. Fuck if you excel, I'm worried about my welfare. So farewell to them broke days and ball short to the most paid. Soon as my dough straight, I throw the wifey and some Dolce and put some chains on my niggas like I own slaves. I get up, look out the window, hope the sun shining down on the niggas out there front line. I hit the streets and see them boys out there locking up some older head. So goddamn homie, hold your head and hold your head. I get up, I see the clouds from my window. Did you guys miss me? Because I missed you. Double take, guys. So today I'm sitting with Melina Chavarria. Oh, okay, cool. She's actually the writer of The Magic Glasses. You know, it's a cool comic book that I had to get for myself. I don't know, it kind of seemed like it was towards little girls, but still, it was cool for an adult man to get it. I'm mostly guy because, like, I saw that she was gonna take part of an event that at MOLA, mm-hmm. that I wanted to go to, but unfortunately, I wanted to get the comic book there, but I wasn't able to do it. But you know, I still bought it, and I had to have her on because I have a lot of questions about that comic book.
Okay,
it was cool. I'm a fan of Studio Ghibli. Mm-hmm. And the illustration of it, I was like, oh, that's Totoro right there. And then, oh, like the little fuzzball. So I was like, cool, mm-hmm. cool. But, you know, like, I'm rude. I always do this. I'm sorry. Like, why don't you get to hear you about you first? So how are you? First of all, before I even start, go ahead. Like, how are you? How's your day so far?
It was great. Thanks for asking. Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the book? You know, like, I don't want to butcher it. I don't want to describe it. And then you're going to be like, yeah, that's nothing. That's not what it is about. So why don't you tell me about the book, like the comic book, The Magic Glasses.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome.
So The Magic Glasses is about a young Latina growing up in South Central Los Angeles. And she's really just trying to figure out what to do with her life. You know, the first issue that you read is really about an argument she's having with her mom about, like, you know, get a job, get, you know, go to school. What are you going to do with yourself? And it kind of just goes from there. But really wanted to write the book about for young women. As you said, it is mostly targeted for young women.
Yeah.
Trying to help them figure out, you know, what their magic is. You know, what are they good at? What can they do with their life after high school, you know? Sometimes we feel like our options are limited, especially when we grow up in a community where you know, maybe not all the opportunities are laid out before us, and we're told it's either this path or that path. But I mean, there's endless possibilities when you really get to know what you're good at and what you like and what you enjoy. I mean, just like you, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Starting this podcast, this is your magic.
Hopefully. Hopefully I make doves and I don't make people disappear, you know?
Yeah, so that's really what it's about, is just helping to like give young girls some hope and some guidance, you know, because again, like, especially growing up in that community, I see just all kinds of things. I mean, I live in Watts. I shared with you that.
Yeah.
A lot of young women growing up in single family households, single moms, and sometimes they feel like they have to repeat that cycle, like that this is what my mom did or this is what my family did, so I'm just gonna repeat the same cycle.
Yeah, like maybe like put their goals, like with their hopes and dreams, onto their children, you know, and sometimes they don't take in consideration what their children want, right?
Definitely.
Did I get that right? All right, cool. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to be smart too.
No, you are smart. Shoot. No, but I mean, I think we do see that, like, cycle sometimes repeats itself, you know? They feel like, okay, well, my mom didn't show me, or my mom's working 3 jobs just so that I could have a roof over my head. And when is she there to listen to me and to give me guidance and, you know, to be my role model? And then sometimes they get caught up in, you know, again, living that same cycle. And, you know, not all of them, obviously, but we do still see a high, you know, percentage of our young women just getting caught up in the wrong things. And we just want to let them know there's so many choices, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's hard, growing up without the proper guidance or the support, but it's definitely possible. And I think in the first issue that you read, you know, at the end of the issue, she's starting to maybe make some not so great choices.
Yeah.
But then she will always have people coming into her life, like the Uber driver at the end, that's kind of trying to, like, hey, knock some sense into her and guide her in the right direction.
So, let me ask you real quick. Is this autobiography by any chance?
It's not an autobiography. No. I will tell you something personal that happened that, like, gave me the inspiration for the book. But before I get into that, I mean, parts of it, I guess, can be autobiographical in the sense that, like, I did go through some of those things, you know, and many young women and even women my age already that have read it have said to me, like, oh my God, that sounds so much like me, or that sounds so much like my niece, and she's going through that right now. So I think our character is very relatable because, I mean, all of us graduating from high school, like, have no clue
what to do. I still don't know what I'm... That was, like, I graduated, like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we feel the pressure sometimes from our parents or just from society and everyone around us telling us, like, yeah, you know, go to college and, you know, that's your future. That's going to open up so many opportunities. And here we are. I'm going to raise my hand because that's myself included, you know, thousands of dollars in college loans in debt later, going like, man, I'm not even doing anything that I went to school for. What happened here? So in that sense, it's a little bit autobiographical because we all go through some of those stages, you know, and you read the book, so you know that she's arguing with her mom and some of the arguments. I had those with my mom.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've had them with my mom. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's exclusive for, like, just young women or ladies. You know, it's just like in period, you're going to relate to that part, you know?
Yeah. And then she sneaks off in the middle of the night.
I mean, I've never done that. I've never done that.
You know? I have. Yeah. My parents know about it now, but that's
what they read
many
the comic
years later.
Book. They read the comic book. It's like, oh, I know what you're doing. I know what you did back then. No?
No, I actually confessed.
Oh, okay.
It's like 20 years later.
All right. So it don't matter now. No consequences. It's safe, So why did you open up with, to win the game, you have to learn the player's strengths. Like, what does that mean? Like,
So to tell you a little bit about our character, and I'll tell you then the backstory behind, you know, why I chose to write this book as well. Our character, her name is Heidi, and she is a gamer and a raver. So that's what she's primarily like. She's into the gaming. She's into, like, going out and partying with her friends all night, right? So, you know, when you are playing a video game, right? Like, if you think about, like, Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, you know, those are the games I grew up with. So.
I grew up with those too.
Right, like when you first start playing the game and you know nothing about like their special moves, like you keep just losing.
Pressing buttons.
I know, you're like, oh, how do I pass this level?
You just run your palm through all of them real quick.
See how you can beat the bad guy, right? But yeah, you, I mean, you lose a lot because you don't know what the player can do. Yeah. Once you figure out what the player can do, that's when you start seeing the magic.
That's true. That's true. So why
and passing the level? So, the story actually was inspired by a young woman in my life, and she was going through a difficult time, like young woman, like in her early 20s, and. Through in her difficult situation, she had shared something with me and said, you know, I feel like I've been playing a video game and I lost.
Aww.
And I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes life is like that, you know, and but in all games, you get a reset button.
That's true. But you don't go start back at the place you were at, you know, that's not your problem.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Yeah.
So you get a reset button, and so you get to make different choices now to that's do true. Things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And that conversation just really stuck with me, you know. Later we were talking something about, I wear glasses half the time, but I'm not always good about it. But she asked me something about my glasses, and I don't know. Her whole experience just really touched me a lot, and I felt like, you know, I was working on a few different story ideas with my friend who does the artwork, Jean, and I was just telling her, I don't know, this like story is just sticking with me, and I was trying to figure out how to incorporate this idea of playing a video game and glasses, you know, and that's how I came up with the idea of the magic glasses, you know, just like how can I write a story that shows women, young ladies, you know, from my community, real women like them, and show them that like you are capable of doing whatever you want. It doesn't really matter what, where you came from, what your history was, how you grew up without a mom, without a dad, in an abusive household. I mean, so many different hardships that we face sometimes, and we feel like, you know, those fairy tale endings are only for rich kids. And it's not true. You know, it definitely isn't true. I mean, if I can keep going, I mean, just for myself, I'm like, the spirit compels me.
And I go ahead. I mean, this whole thing is for you. It's about you. Let people get to know you.
Thank
you.
But I mean, just for myself, I mean, sometimes we're always like, you're just so strong and there's just like nothing you can't do. But, you know, it's just because I keep going, and it's just a conscious choice to keep going and not stopping. You know, I'm from immigrant parents.
All
right. You know, born and raised in Las Vegas.
Okay, hopefully I don't offend you.
I'm not offended so far.
I'll let you
know though, Angel.
Something about the end.
You know. I know. Like, man, we were fine until
Happened. That's what happened last episode. We were good, and then I happened to say something stupid that I didn't think of. But
put your foot in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it fits, so why not put it in? You know.
So, yeah, I mean, my parents, you know, growing up in Las Vegas, and most people, you go to Las Vegas, you think it's just casinos and stuff, but there's real people that live there, and there's real communities. And we grew up probably till I was 9 in a neighborhood that was heavy with, like, gang violence. Okay. And my parents were always like, you know, we got to get our kids out of here. It was my mom, my dad, and my two other siblings, so that's 3 young children. Mm-hmm. And you see the shootings and you see all that at a very young age. My parents always worked really hard to get us out of that situation.
Yeah.
And they did. And I think they always taught us, like, you know, like what the life you want, that's up to you.
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Yeah.
They never graduated high school. They never did any of that, you know. But I was the first person, not just woman, but person, period, in my family to graduate from college with a bachelor's.
Well, congrats.
Thank you. I moved out here to Los Angeles about 11 years ago. I had 2 kids, and they're both have special needs. They got diagnosed with autism at ages 2 and 3, 7 years ago. And even after the diagnosis, like, I went on and I got a master's degree. I have a master's in psychology.
That's tight.
Thank you. So, you know, now my kids are making a lot of progress, and that's my magic, because I know, like, you can face a hard time But if you keep going and you just have faith and you learn from your mistakes and you, you know, you don't give up, like,
So is that
what's possible?
So you got your bachelor's so you could understand what you're like, how to help your children, basically? Or
no, actually, I got my bachelor's before I had my children.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know. So, did it help? Like, what's your bachelor's?
I have a bachelor's in counseling and a master's in psychology. It helps a lot. It definitely does.
I mean, I was talking to another guest that I had on. She's a nurse. And we were kind of talking about, like, that's what sucks about nursing is, like, you get into it to help people, but then when it's so close, like when like a family member goes through something, like, you know, all the symptoms, you know, everything, like you want to help, but then you're helpless. Like, I don't you didn't know, obviously. So it was just kind of like coincidence. Like, it kind of helped you pretty much understand like what to go, like what to do, what not to do, how to help them, you know, like what to stay away, you know.
It helped a little bit. If anything, they helped me the most. You know, teaching you to like slow down and appreciate the small things in life. And, you know, just like the character in my story, like, I met a lot of people along my journey that have helped me.
That's cool.
You know,
I'm hoping I do that, you know, but
do what?
Like, reach people at like a level like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, so I don't know. Hopefully.
You're reaching people. You definitely are. I mean, like, I just learned about your podcast not that long ago, but I feel like you're doing awesome things. It's like you said, even for yourself, and it's true, you know, as getting started as a writer, I encounter the very same things you do as a stand-up comic, you know. It's like,
I don't consider myself a comic, though. Because
well,
I don't
what do you
it
consider
that
yourself, then?
Just the guy that, like, occasionally tells jokes. It makes people laugh or, or at least... I don't know. I enjoy, like, why I got into comedy. I enjoy giving, like, making people have a reaction over something. It could be either laughter or disgust. I don't care. For real. Really? It's like, if you're disgusted by things I say, like, I just enjoy that, knowing that I did that to you. Like, I made you feel that.
Okay. Well, please, no disgust.
No, I'm going to try. Okay. No, you know, no promises. You know, I'm going to try to keep this entertaining for both of us, you know? Like, I gotta have fun too. And if I say something rude or disgusting, you know, like, just say it, just like, okay, he was trying to be funny there. He didn't accomplish it, but at least he tried, you know?
Okay.
So what made you want to write this comic book? You know, like, why? Like, I mean, you said you always known you want to be a writer. Like, have you always
That? I did want to always be a writer when I went to college and I was working on my degree. You know, and I'm sure any college student like listening can relate, you know, that you go through years of like, I'm going to just change my major again.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe it's women's studies now. Yeah. Maybe it's this now. But every time somebody sometimes will say like, it's really hard to get a job in that, you know, or what are you going to do with the sociology degree or you know, things like that. And I feel like, you know, if you know now what I've learned, because I'm 36, by the way, so...
you don't look 36.
Thank you. Well, many years later, it's like
I thought you were my age.
Oh, really? Yeah. Thanks. But you know, now that I've had a career in retail for 15 years and done all that, I'm like, you know, if I would have just listened to myself, you know, I could have been a writer then. But just recently, a friend of mine, a mentor of mine, who writes comics, also said, you know, like if I. If I'd written this book 20 years ago, it wouldn't have been the same story, you know?
True.
So, I mean, I think I have a lot of experience to draw from that now, and now like more mature mindset. And I know what I'm capable of that. I'm like, I'm going to go for it because I can't keep listening to those people saying like, you can't make money from that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like since I started writing this book, I really like have gone to different workshops and classes and just trying to figure out like how do I make this my full-time hustle, you know, because it has to be possible. There's people out there figuring it out and you know.
Yeah I mean,
it may take me some time, but I can do this.
When you figure it out, let me know how to, because I'm trying to figure that out too.
I mean, it's, I think it just starts with this little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I think my friend who's the artist of the comic, like she's had an amazing career, you know, she's not doing art full time, but she's been doing her own comics for the last 5 years. She does a lot of workshops. She lives in Las Vegas, you know, in our community out there. but one door opens up another, you know. Most recently, I'm so proud of her. Her design was chosen for the Women's March.
Oh, cool.
That's going to take place in Nevada. And nice. That's just a huge accomplishment. So I think sometimes we think of success in the...
material,
In el billete, you know, and thinking like, oh, you know, well, I'm not a millionaire yet, so not successful. But it's not just about the money. It's about those...
those you touch, the people you reach.
Exactly.
You know?
And she's reaching so many people, not just like... through our comics or her comic or the workshops, and now like it's all paying off with this really cool opportunity for people that are going to be wearing a shirt that she designed, you know, at a national level. Like,
that's awesome.
I'm so excited for her, you know.
My
so
bad, wrong too.
But it's taking her 5 years at least, you know, at least say since she's really like been grinding at it, you know. So I admire that about her, and it gives me a lot of courage and hope that, like, hey, you know, what we've done in just like a year and a half, 2 years, if we just keep going, and not just with the magic glasses, but other like other stories and books that I want to write, like, you know, who knows, a few years from now, I mean, we're going to be sitting here across from each other, Angel. You're going to be a professional broadcaster.
No, you're going to be like, you're going to come on, promote your movie. You know.
I know. I'm going to be like the next J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. So remember, like, I'll be in your movie. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I like working with my guests. You know, my guests have something going on. I'll jump in it. You know, I'll do that for you. You do me a favor. I do you a favor, you know.
Thanks.
You know, yeah, you know, anything I could do to help. You
Thank
know?
You.
So why did you describe your comic book as a modern day fairy tale? Like, is it because it's like, using technology that we're using now, or what?
I definitely think that's part of it, you know, because we show in the comic a lot how like our main character Heidi is very obsessed with social media, because that's just the era we live in right now. You know, we're either texting each other or on Instagram or Snapchat, or you know, we're always connected.
Yeah.
And as much as we're connected, we're so disconnected.
Yeah, like from the people in front of us.
Exactly. And what's really happening, you know, in our society. So, I mean, that's definitely part of it, is like technology, but also it's, I mean, if you have read or seen, obviously, the traditional fairy tales of like Snow White and Cinderella, I mean, like, you know, I mean, they had their issues and the things that they grew, that they had to face, but you know, Heidi's from the streets, you know. Heidi's from the hood, so.
So this takes place here in LA or where?
In South Central.
South Central.
Yeah.
Okay, South, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of the pages from the book, you know, the artwork in them, you know, they're scenes from the community around me.
Oh, cool.
You know, my Jean, the artist, she really was mindful of that. She wanted it to be as realistically portraying the community. So she said, you know, send me some pictures. And not just through pictures, she actually came on a field trip.
So like she took,
No, she, you know, we'll go back and forth. And so she's come to visit me, and I'll take her around the community in the area so she can get a really good sense of what it may be like to be Heidi growing up in this community, you know? So I think you have the book somewhere, but there's a page where like, there's a train station in the background, you know, once the Uber drivers are picking her up. That's a train station that's right in front of my house, actually.
Oh, wow.
But also there's like another scene where there's like, you know, the city of LA, you know, the buildings and the lights and all the pretty stuff. But there's also a different scene with homeless in the background, you know. And she was like, you know, I really like this because it captures like how just silly and minute some of her problems are, that she's like creating all this drama for herself, fighting with her mom, and here there are these like homeless people in the background that have, you know,
have it way worse.
So
who did you write this comic book for specifically? Like, is it like the younger you when you're like young and naive, you know?
Definitely the younger me, you know, probably like junior, senior year of high school until like 24.
So you're like
really just trying to figure it out.
So like, why did you choose to write a comic book and not like an actual book, you know, like, or something like where you could actually tell the whole story, like, because right now you're doing it in pieces, like why did you choose to do it this way?
I just wanted to try it. And to be honest with you, like I said, we had different story ideas, and I definitely plan on still developing those and publishing those one day. But again, like when you're starting off something new,
yeah,
and you're like,
okay, you're just trying to dip your toe in the water.
Exactly. Right? This was my dipping my toe. Yeah. Like, let me like dip and see like how it goes. And all of a sudden, like I'm all in, you know, like I'm fully immersed in it because, yeah. I mean, even just with the little bit we've done in a short time, we've had some good results, yeah. I think. Keep going.
See, I see a lot of your posts. Like, you're like, a lot of little girls are like reading your book. They're taking them to school and stuff, you know?
Yeah, you know what's funny is that we didn't write it for little girls, but
I mean, I know, but like, you mentioned on the descriptions, like, yeah, this is not for like, this is for like preteen or yeah. like teen girls,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but the thing is that when I do go to events, there's definitely a lot of parents, and because there's not a lot of Latina writers, specifically in the comics industry, when they see me and they see my book and they see a female character, yeah. they want a role model for their daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I do tell parents, like, there's a few curse words. Yeah. Like a few, like three or four.
In Spanish.
Just bleep it out, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't write it for children, but definitely that's why you'll see the little girls, because there was one guy, I remember an event at a place called Home that I was able to be a part of. It was their first comics and literacy expo, and this dad came and he bought the comic for me for his daughter, maybe was like five. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he said something like, look, Mija, we're gonna invest in her story. You know, and that's a really great feeling, because yeah. You and I were just talking about this earlier. There are people out there, they want to see us be successful. They want to see our people be successful, and yeah. they're gonna invest in the local artist and the local community. And it was a really awesome feeling.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So any investors, am I here? You know, just let me know. Slide into my DMs or my, you know, my Gmail. I'll let you invest. No, I'll let you. I'll do you that favor too. I'll let you invest, you know. So when you were young, were you into comic books yourself? Or like,
not comics, no. necessarily. I
novelas?
Was always...
You know,
like, not well, novelas, oh, okay. No. But I was always a bookworm. Okay. You actually see right here, I have a Bell pen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My nose always in a book. Like, I read a lot. So, always been into books, reading and writing books and stuff. But comics I got into as I got older, okay. you know, as I had my own kids and their father and I introduced them to comics. He introduced me to comics. And so that was how I got introduced to it. And it just so happened that when I met Jean, she was a comic book writer. So when I told her about this story idea, she said, I think that would actually make a pretty good comic. Why don't we try doing it that way? So I trust her. So I went with it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what comic books got like influenced you to write this, or like your story? What were like which ones were you taking a little piece of this comic book or this character or this character? Like, who are like who? In yeah. your mind, whose comic books or what comic books influenced the stories?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say there were any comics per se, not for this story in particular that influenced the story, although there are some comics, you know, that I grew up enjoying, like X-Men. I was always a big X-Men fan.
Like Jean or Storm or who?
I think if I had my alter ego's more like Jean.
Okay, yeah.
If I had a special power, it would be more like hers, yeah. you know? But the other characters just in stories and movies and stuff that I think influence some of my ideas for the magic glasses are definitely like the Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
You know, if we think about Dorothy, like going on in the land of Oz, following the yellow brick road, and she meets the lion and the, you know, the Tin Man. And the Scarecrow and stuff, and each one of them have something to offer her.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to our character throughout the story, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's...
She's going to meet different people like that, but I'm a big Matrix fan, too. I don't post a lot about that. I'm super into the Matrix. And
What aspect of it is, like, the futuristic or what? Like, what do you like about it?
The symbolism, and just the whole idea of the Matrix, and that we again like living in this like
being hooked. Like, they're literally being hooked.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like when we're in social media, like, we're hooked into the matrix. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of how we show Heidi, like, plugged into that matrix of always on her social media. But, like, once she starts to awaken, you know, and she starts to realize her magic and what she's capable of, she's going to know how she's going to be able to contribute to her community. So she goes through an awakening in this process of becoming more socially and spiritually conscious.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the illustration. Because like I mentioned, like, has Totoro, and then you see Zelda, like the sort of Zelda in the back. And you see like a Pokeball. You know, like what video games are like, what, like, I mean, you like anime, right? Like, you have to kind of like anime. Like, so, like, what stories or, like, what games are you into? Like, you mentioned Mortal Kombat, right? Yeah. Like, what other stuff are you into that influenced the comic book? Like, to be able to illustrate it, like, something had to, like, you know, like...
Well, that would be more question for Gene, but I would say that definitely, like, I look at all the images before we move forward and things like that, and I dig that she did that.
Yeah.
In the artwork, because I'm an 80s kid.
Okay.
I already told you how old I am, so whatever. Yeah. But I have no shame.
I'm an 80s kid, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Ish.
89, but 80.
But, you know, we grew up with Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the hat, too.
Yeah, we grew up with Zelda. We grew up with we grew up when Pokemon was popular the first time.
Yeah.
So I like that she included all of that in there, because that was definitely part of my world growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet? You and Gene, right? Like, are you guys been childhood friends or like
we were
after?
Not. No, Gene actually is from Guam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she immigrated to Las Vegas. I've never asked her how long ago she's been in Las Vegas, but so we were not, you know, we did not grow up together. My sister, so my whole family is out there still. She, when I told her about some of my story ideas, I was like, I just want to meet an artist though. Like, you know, to bounce off some ideas and see if I can get them to illustrate some of these stories. And she's like, oh, I work out with this girl and you and her are so much alike. I think you guys would really like each other.
Yeah, in what way though? Like, you guys are living like on a fantasy world or what?
No, I mean, just in the sense of like being into our communities and the, you know, the kind of work that we do outside of writing our comic and things like that. And, you know, we did really hit it off. Like, we spent a good few months up to a year almost just getting to know each other and bouncing ideas off each other. And that's really how our relationship grew.
I wish I had a friend like that. Anybody wants to be my friend like that, we could connect like that too. Like, you could illustrate my stuff, you know, make me look dumb. I don't mind. I like it. So, why? Okay, so the glass. So with the magic glasses, right? That's the name. Is that the name? Like, to me, it's confusing. Cause is that the name of the, like, the game that she's playing? I don't understand.
And thank you for that. I mean, I know that in the first book, it's not clear like what's going to happen with the glasses or how the glasses connect with the story. So I guess that's part of my learning process in my first time writing a comic. But, you know, the glasses is something that she needs to find.
Okay.
Right. Like, if you read the story at the end and she's talking to the Uber driver, he says to her, like, something about, like, when he got his glasses, he could see things more clearly.
Yeah.
And that's really a challenge he puts out to her. So once issue two, and I don't want to give too much away, but we're working on that right now. That'll hopefully be out later this year. That's where we tie it all together.
Oh, okay.
So you can see when she finds the glasses, what she's going to be able to do with those.
So without ruining the second part to it, like, what are the rules? Because you posted a rule, like, and that was fairly recent, like, on your Instagram. So I know you can probably tell that rule.
Yeah.
I mean, is there other rules?
There are other rules.
But you're not going to tell us now.
Why not? But, I mean, rule one, the one that I posted, right, was just... you know, this is a rave, not a pity party. YOLO, you know, you only live once. I mean, because she will show up, you know, obviously to the rave.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the last story, she's very, like, upset with her friends who went to the rave without her.
Yeah.
And
she
liked
the boy.
Yeah.
Like, friends, you know.
What's going on with that boy? So.
And what's up with their boots and wearing a dress and white boots?
Well, remember, she asked her mom for money to buy an outfit, that's and she true. Didn't get it. So, you know, you got to wear what you got.
So, she had the brand new boots, but she had to wear that old dress just because that guy liked it. Come on.
But, so when she shows up to the rave, she's obviously still upset over all of that. And that's, I mean, I think that happens to any of us in different scenarios, right? Like, you're upset about not getting that job.
Yeah.
Or that guy not calling you back. I or know. That girl Why not calling call you me? Back. You know, or not getting that opportunity or getting overlooked for something. Yeah. You let that cloud all the other good stuff that's happening in your life.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where I'm at right now. I should be grateful of everything, but man, like my goal, I'm not at my goal. I'm too focused on that. Like, you're right. I should probably... I'd be thankful, like, for what I have. I do have.
How far you've come so far.
Yeah, I remember when I didn't even know how to start my laptop. And now it's just, I figured out, just press that button. Press that button and it turns off.
Yeah, hey. And look at all this fancy equipment you have now.
See, I don't know why I Googled how to turn off my laptop, but hey. Yeah, I mean, what are the other rules? Like, that was one.
That
like,
was one.
YOLO. So are there other? You said, see, that's the part that I was kind of confused on. Like, is it the rules... to the game, which I know it's like a metaphor for life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
thank you. I'm glad you caught that.
I mean, I do. I got my GED yesterday, so that was one of the questions, you know. Can you tell me about the other rules?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the second one, which I'll post soon.
Oh, hopefully you post it before this comes out.
I know, right?
This comes out on Wednesday. So today's okay. Wednesday, by the way.
The second rule is just going to be about, like, you know, if you're going to play, you have to be all in.
Okay.
You know, cool. It can't be, like we talked about earlier, just like dipping your toe in it. Yeah, like, you got to immerse yourself in that shit if you're going to want it to, you know, get somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I learned, because I'm an introverted person, so like being out in the public and promoting myself, like I never thought that was going to be a part of it. And now it's like, whoa, like you have to get over those fears if you're going to want to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, that's right. I'm an introvert too. I am. I swear. The only reason why I have people on is because I have to. Because I'm not interested enough to just do it by myself. I need people to come on, you know, like, oh, look at this interesting person. Oh, let me talk about me too, you know? Yeah, I think you caught on to that too. You know? I talk about myself here and there, you know?
It's okay. We want to know about you too.
Yeah, I mean, nobody asked. Somebody could ask me and I'll answer.
Okay, know? Cool.
But yeah, but man, you okay, so you're talking about the second rule?
Uh-huh.
I already forgot. I'm sorry. What was the second rule? For real, what was the second rule?
So you got your GED, but you have ADD, so it's okay.
I get by shiny stuff. It distracts me.
So the second rule again was, you know, if you're going to play, you have to be all
in. Yeah. Oh, my. What I was going to say is, like, and rule number three, remember where the restart button is. You know?
That's a good one. I didn't have that one, but I will have to include that one in there, like, and give you credit for
it. Like in jokes, that's called callback. Like, we talked earlier, you know how your friend... She was talking about, like, where she wasn't in life.
Uh-huh.
So, and you mentioned restart button. Uh-huh. So, I just brought it back.
Yes.
You see? Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. I'm good at comedy, guys. So who's that girl with the blue hair? Because you sent me, like, I think for a limited period of time, you were, I don't know if you're still doing it. Like, you would add a sticker to, like, the comic book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who's that girl with the blue hair?
So, you're going to find out about her in the second issue. Yeah. Okay. It's another one of, like, the people that she meets that are helping to guide her, right? So
is she stuck in the video game? Because I feel she kind of like, she doesn't really look like the, like, so the cover of the comic book, it's like you see some glasses and a face, but she doesn't look like the sticker. I'm like, oh man, who's this?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the person from the video game. She's part of it.
I take it back. It looks exactly like the girl in the video game. Like,
it's okay, but don't ask me any more about her because then I'm giving too much.
No, I'm not. Well, my next question is, tell me more about her. I read it, you know, and at the end, like, I got, like, I mean, not at the end, like, in, like, throughout the comic book, there's a lot of religion. Like, are you a religious person? Because the mom's religious, but then her daughter's kind of like, nah, she's trying to shunt. I mean,
mm-hmm.
shunt? Shunt? Shant?
Come on, help me out. I don't know if that's the word, but I didn't know what you're saying.
Shant. Fuck it.
Yeah,
Shant, guys. That's a new word.
We're making shit up here as we go.
Look, add it to dictionary, guys.
Yes.
To your phone, however you spell Shant, write it, you know?
No, I know what you're saying. She's trying to push that away, though. Yeah, like, yeah, she's not accepting it. Well, I think... One, to answer your question, I'm not a religious person. I am a spiritual person. I do consider myself a person of faith, definitely. Uh-huh. Feel like, you know, I wouldn't be where I am at today without, you know, God's help and support and guiding me. But I think if we think about our culture, what's funny is that, like, depending on what event I'm at, right? And I've talked to different writers, from different cultures. And, you know, we talk about the book and I say something about Jesus and things like that. They're like, whoa, really? You went there? And I was like, yeah, like, actually, that's not uncommon in our culture. No. A lot of authors, not necessarily comic authors, but authors do write about either the afterlife, right? We do a lot of Dia de los Muertos is just infused in a lot of our work. And that has a lot of religion tied behind it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
La Virgen de Guadalupe, you know, like Jesus. And I mean, that's just a big piece of who we are as a community, a Latino community. But sometimes, like, we don't really understand it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what the conversation she's kind of having with her mom is like, you know, you want to drag me to go see Jesus for?
I want to have fun with my friends at the rave.
You know, and it's not so much about like trying to convince people to be religious or follow a certain religion, but you know, hopefully it helps you gain a better understanding just of what having that relationship with the higher power means to you. Because I don't know, for me, it's been an important part of my life, and I feel like it's just a big part of our community that, you know, we're always looking for something to connect and give us hope, you know, to get us out of our situation where they're gonna go light a candle.
Please light a candle for me, guys.
I'll light several.
Yeah, please, even if you have to torch the whole thing, you know. Do it, guys. Do it for me.
Have a seance. Just kidding. Yeah, but that's why I think it's an important part of my life. It's an important part of, I feel like, of our community also.
Like, even to me, like, the Uber driver, you kind of made him seem like Jesus. Like, she said, oh, Jesus. And then she's like, and the Uber driver's like, yeah, my name is Jesus. And then throughout the whole thing, it was like, the ending was like, okay, this is supposed to be like a spiritual guide kind of deal. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it. I mean, I read something. Like, I read your stuff. It was pretty short, you know, so I was able to keep. You know? Like, I had to go over like 3-4 times because I was like, oh, look, there's a shiny thing. And like, oh, it's just foil. Oh, okay, let me go back. All right.
But yeah. I mean, that was intentional.
Yeah.
So obviously. Obvio. Yeah. So I'm glad that you caught on to that. Yeah. Like, irony there that, you know, I did that intentionally. You know, here she is trying to get away from Jesus, you know, going to church, like the church Jesus, and then she ends up in a car with Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus is like literally taking the wheel, right? So
yeah.
Not just metaphorically, but literally. So yeah, that was definitely intentional.
So, like, I want to ask you, like, what arcade has raves? Because I've never been to an arcade that has a rave. Also, I've been to Chuck E. Cheese.
That's, I don't know, but wouldn't it be a really good idea?
I don't know. I'd be distracted by the video games. I wouldn't be dancing, you know?
There is a bar that has arcades in it. I've been to several of those.
Like, a rave and, to me, a bar, it's a different things, you know?
You're right. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I should have thought that out a little bit better. I was just trying to, again, like, incorporate, like, how do I?
Are you trying to connect with the youngins, you know? These kids popping Molly, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay, so somebody that would go to Coachella, would they go to an arcade? Probably. They're young enough, you know? Like, fuck it, let's add rave to it.
Now somebody just should do one just because.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should probably just throw it just so you can, not legitimize, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say, guys.
Yes.
So, okay, do you know, like, about when the next I mean, how is it gonna, like, do you have a title for the part two, or is it gonna be Glasses Part Two?
It's it's the Magic Glasses, just the second issue. Well, the first one's more like, if we do a subtitle, was more like, in for me, like the game of life, just getting introduced to, like, these are some of the things that she's having to face now. Like, I'm out of high school, like, I gotta figure my shit out.
Yeah.
But now in this next issue, we're hoping to tie up some of that for her and help her to understand, like, what is she gonna need to make it in life? What are some of the rules she's gonna have to understand? But to answer your question about when we're planning to have it done, I'm hoping sometime between March and May, to be honest with you. Now that Jean has gotten this fabulous opportunity, and honestly, like, the this issue took a lot of work. I think originally when I wrote this story, I had it, like, divided up into four different issues, and then through getting feedback from Jean, and also I'm part of this, like, writing community and workshop that I go to, and my teacher there, he gave me a lot of feedback, and so it's been a lot of revision, and I pretty much took the last, like, three issues that I thought were going to be three separate issues, and I condensed it back into one that's going to be the second issue, to, like, try to incorporate the main ideas from, you know, all three of those, to just make the story a little bit more clear and concise and, like, tie it all in.
So let's talk shop for a minute.
So
how does it work? Like, do you have the story first, and then she draws the pan, like, she draws the little squares in between? Or is it like, do you tell her, oh, this is what I want, and then based on the picture, you write the story?
No, I think it's a different process for those that write and draw their own stories. Okay. So if you wrote, if you had interviewed, like, a different comic book creator who does both, their process may be different. But for us, I do write the story first. I send it to her, you know, if there's any revisions she recommends. And then what she does is she breaks it up into what she calls paneling. Yeah. So she'll, and if I have something specific I want, like, I wrote a particular line and I envision her doing something in that picture, I'll mention that, you know, in like quotations or whatever, like, she should be holding this or or doing this. But once she gets that information from me, she does the paneling. So she breaks it down and writes, like, you know, this first page will be one big image of Heidi by the arcade game, you know, and this next page will be broken down into four boxes. And then this is what she'll do in box 1, 2, 3, and 4 and the dialogue that will be included in all of that. So once she does the paneling, she sends it to me so that I feel good about how she broke it all down, you know, and also if she missed anything, you know, I always tell her, you know, like, we're good partners because we see things that the other doesn't see. So we kind of catch each other like that. So then I tell her what I need or what needs to look differently. And so she'll send it back revised and then she'll start working on it, you know.
So have you ever had, like, a bad day where she sends you, like, the illustration and, like, it's exactly what you wanted, but then it's, like, the wrong color button, and you tell her, no, it's just supposed to be pressing the green button, not the red button. You make her do the whole thing over?
I don't think she ever had to do the whole thing over. But, like, especially with the characters.
Like the tattoo, for example? Like,
the tattoo, that was actually a discussion about that. Like, that was not the first version of the tattoo. That, like, was a little hard for her.
So the tattoo, is it a line with the bird on top?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's symbolism of Jesus, you know, the lion and the dove.
Okay. See, damn, catching all these little things, guys. But big things I don't catch, little small things.
I know, but you know, I'm so glad that you noticed that, because those are, like, things that are important to me, like the symbolism in my stories. And I'm glad that you're catching them.
Man, my God. I got to do some research, guys. I don't like wasting, I don't want to waste your time, you know? And then it kind of, like, since we're talking about it, I feel like the listener will probably want to go and read it to see what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
And hopefully they catch on to all these little things too, you know?
Yeah, come
on,
definitely.
Guys. Come on. don't do that. Don't do me like that, guys. Make me look good. Come on.
Yeah, but to answer your question about the tattoo, that was one of the things that she, like, it wasn't her first version. Like, she went back at it a few times until both of us felt good about it. You know, also with her mom, the first version, and even the main character herself, you know, she, that's not the first version of what the character looked like, or even the outfits, you know, that she was wearing. So I'm grateful, you know, she invests a lot of time to make sure that it's right for both of us.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't imagine, because it's hard, because it has to be detailed, but at the same time, it can't be too detailed, because it's such a small part.
Yeah.
That you can't really go into too much, like, you know, like, you would have to, like, really, like, magnify it and, like, really, like, break it down, you know?
Yeah.
It has to kind of look like it, but at the same time, not really. I give props to her. You know, that's awesome. Like, I wish I had talent and patience like that. You saw me before. We're like, man, I was like, ah, why can't I get the sound to work? I was about to break my laptop, but then I remembered, Angel, you don't want to go back to those anger management classes.
You know? I'm glad I didn't see Hulk Angel come out today.
So, what is Plot Twist Publishing? Is that who publishes your comic book, or is it did you publish a comic book independently, or?
Yeah. Okay. But Plot Twist Publishing, I mean, I definitely partner with her. She's started an independent comic book publishing company in Las Vegas. So, I do, I've been able to participate in some of their comic anthologies. Okay. I just went to Las Vegas for an event, an artist spotlight. We just put together a children's anthology. And it's different writers and artists that collaborate. So it's like a little book, but maybe with like 6-7 different stories of different artists and writer teams.
Okay.
So like mine is in the front, you know, with my story idea and the person that did my artwork. And then, but they're all a common theme. Oh, you know, okay. We were given the common theme of like, come up with a story about this magic book.
Okay.
You know how much I like magic.
So, so yeah, before, I don't think the maestro, and I said, man, like, something that you have in common is magic. Like, all your posts have to do with magic. But then she's like, yeah, dummy. Like, the book is called Just Magic. Like glasses, you know, magic glasses. I was like, oh, yeah, huh? That makes sense.
Yeah, so that that's something that, you know, her and her publishing company do to spotlight and try to encourage more local artists and writers to get their work out there.
Yeah.
You know, and just be the voice of that community. So that was one anthology they've done. They've done, I think, a total of 3 or 4, and there's more coming for this new year.
So the magic glasses, is that your first one? Cause I also saw something like, did you have to do with it? The Diary of a Fairy Godmother?
That was the Diary of the Fairy Godmother. That's my story in the children's anthology.
Oh, okay.
And that one's more for that 5-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Now that I have them,
yeah,
I'll have more, you know, children age appropriate things. But the magic glasses is my first one. Yeah. All
right, so let's talk hypothetical. We already discussed that I was going to play the lead. I was going to be Heidi, right?
Mm-hmm.
We already discussed it. You can't take it back. But like, who?
You're going to dress up in a black dress?
I do what I got to do. All right, that's all.
To make it.
Yeah, you know, like, do I have to wear a dress? I got to wear a dress.
You don't have to shave.
Hey, I don't know about all that. But, you know, there's makeup. We can CGI, you know. The technology's so advanced, you know. The Matrix, guys. The Matrix. I don't know. So, who's going to play who? Like, who do you, like, in your mind, who do you think is going to play? Like, if you could have, I said hypothetical, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, do you have, like, kind of in mind, like, who's going to play, like, Heidi? Like, besides me, who's your second option? You know, like, for some reason, I said Rosa. Her name is, what's her name? Rose? Rosa Mint? No.
Are you talking about a famous actress or
something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, who would, what characters, like, who do you, like, who would be Jesus, and who would play her mom, and play her? And, like, the side characters, the backstabbing friend that's trying to hook up with her, with the man, with her boo. Like, who would play who? You haven't thought it out that well.
I haven't. But you know, just if I can, like, just have whoever I wanted. Like, yeah. I have my favorites, you know. Gael.
Oh, okay. Who would be Gael, though?
he would play Jesus.
Jesus, I see that. Yeah,
because we made our Jesus like very like hipster Jesus. Yeah, yeah.
Or that, or like, I don't know, Brad Pitt kind of could do it.
No.
No? Oh, you're trying to work with Hispanic? No,
yeah, our Jesus. Latinx? No, I mean, we're all about diversity, but okay. Our Jesus is definitely Latino.
Like, would you, man, Rosa Mendes? That's somebody, right?
What did she play in?
I thought she could be Heidi.
You're like, dang, that name sounds good, but you don't even know.
No, but there's she's the actress from Colombiana, or she was in Avatar. She's the one of them.
Oh,
she's in like Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's not her name.
No, I know, but
okay, that's but I know who you're talking about.
I would see her playing Heidi.
Okay.
Or her mom could be Paquita la del Barrio. I'll see her like, cursing her out.
Stop it.
Why?
Not everybody's fucking. My mom wasn't like her.
Oh, but I'm also, guys, podcast exclusive. Her mom is based on her mom, actual mom. Oh, you just said
she it. Actually is in some ways. Yeah, because Jean's met my mom. I think, you know, something about like my mom and how.
So your mom's religious? Like
she is.
Oh, okay.
She is.
So she would drag you, like, so that was based on real life?
Parts of it, definitely.
So she like,
well, by the time I was 18, yes.
It's like, let's go to church. She's like, oh, I got to go change real quick. You sneak out your window?
Yeah. That actually happened once, yeah.
I mean, that would have serious consequences, like.
Oh, I did.
You didn't think about, like, okay, well, mom's going to eventually come upstairs and find out that I'm not in my room. You never thought of that?
Oh, now I have to look up her name because I'm like, who? What actress are you talking about? But I mean, one actress, as you asked the question, that comes to mind. What I mean, I love America Ferrera.
You know? Oh, okay. Yeah. But who? I mean, so right now you can't really tell. Like, okay, so don't tell me about the blue.
Zoe Saldana, that's her name.
Okay, yeah.
Rose Mendez, you were way off. Hey,
I know somebody is Rose, and the other one, there's a Mendez somewhere. I know there's a Mendez somewhere. Oh, isn't she married? Like, or girlfriends to
Eva Mendez?
No. Oh, that could be the mom.
She should be a real hot mom.
I mean, oh, man, you just, I don't know how this is going to come out, but you kind of look like Rose, like her.
Like Eva Mendez?
Yeah.
Oh, I could,
but I don't know how you're going to take that. You know, like, I don't want to, well, you know, I don't know. I would just say that I would see they're playing you.
Yeah.
But I don't
but
know.
But I'm not part of the story.
But you said it was kind of based on you a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So, fuck. I think I saved it, right? I didn't come out as a creep, right? I hope I didn't.
You didn't. I would totally tell you.
Cool. That's, tight. All right.
You know.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to, but when you added that part, I was like, oh, like, I want to say her. But then I was like, oh, you know what? I don't even know how she's going to take it, but. All right, cool. So we're settled. Paquita del Barrio will be her mom. And then, like, what? Zoe Saldana, right?
Zoe Saldana.
Should be Heidi. And we said,
Guy would be Jesus.
Jesus. Man. But, okay, so the blue-headed girl, without going into, like, too much detail, who do you think would be a good, like, actress that would play her? I think America. No?
I'm thinking maybe America would be Heidi, and then Zoe Saldana would be the girl with blue hair. Yeah.
But I mean,
I see Zoe Saldana with blue hair.
But I don't, I mean, skin tone wise, I guess you could like always, like, mean, doesn't have to be exact. Like, but I see.
It doesn't have to be exact.
I mean, she was kind of dark and like darker than like the blue headed girl. Like, she was lighter.
Yeah, was she?
I think so. Huh. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in my mind. I imagine it. Yeah. All right. So,
well, you know, we come in all shades. So.
I'm God. Are you trying to teach me? Teach me a lesson. Tell me.
I don't know. Do you know?
I know. I'm aware. But I mean, I'm just like, I'm basing that off the comic book, like the skin tones that you used.
Yeah.
To like, I mean, I chose, I already forgot her name. Saldana. She's kind of. Oh, whatever. Don't even matter, guys. Let's not get into that. I'll get into
technicalities.
Trouble. Yeah, whatever. So, like, how did you learn how to write the comic book? Like how to, like, not write too much dialogue, you know, trying to keep it simple.
It was more through a lot of feedback from Gene and, you know, some of my other mentors and teachers, too. It was like, oh, I think, like, you're being too wordy here. So, really, you just, like, I just wrote the story as the spirit compelled me, just so I like let it be what it was. And then you just go through a process of revision, you know, and the feedback is a big part of it.
Right.
Yeah. So, and some feedback, like, you know, you're like, okay, I agree with that. And then some areas I had to be like, no, that's really important to me as part of the story. So yeah. I'm not going to, like, you know, give on that.
All right. So how did it feel to take part of the Latino Comic Expo? Because I know you're part of that. That's the, like, MOLA, right?
Yeah, yeah. That took place in MOLA. And I want to say this is like the fifth, sixth year. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But it was amazing. And that was just the pure, like, chance that I took, you know. I saw Javier Hernandez. You know, I do follow him on social media. A friend of mine knows him. But I was like, no, let me just contact Javier Chicharito? Myself. Huh?
Chicharito?
Chicharito.
Oh, you don't like soccer? All
right. No.
Trying to make a joke.
I'm right, sorry. Cool. I don't know who that is. But I contacted him and asked what it would be, you know, what would it would take to get involved. And he was actually really excited because he said, you know, we're looking for more Latina comic creators. So we'd love to have you. So we were grateful to be part of that. And then once we were signed up to go, Javier actually invited me to a few different events. Leading up to the show to promote the show and, you know, for people to come and get to know some of the creators. And I'm just very grateful for that experience because it allowed me to, one, get comfortable before the big day. Mm-hmm. You know, we had our reservations about the show because, or that expo, my friend and I, she's like, do you think that our comic's like Latino enough?
Why not?
She speaks right. Spanish. And it, I mean, but it poses this whole question because there's sometimes, I don't know for you, but that does come up, you know, in our community sometimes is like, you know, I know it did for me growing up. Like, you know, your dad doesn't wear cowboy boots. You're not really Mexican or different things.
Just tell them what I tell them. I don't know my dad.
I make them feel bad about it. I know.
Whenever they make a joke about your mom, say my mom's dead. They can bring that up.
You know? That's terrible.
Hey,
I know your mom's not dead because I heard you talking about her.
Yeah.
But what was I talking about?
Like you don't feel.
Yeah. So we were not sure about the, you know, we're like, dang, is our, like, how's it going to be received? Is it going to be accepted? Like, what's going to happen? So it helped to, like, go to the different events leading up to that, because even Javier himself and Graciela, who is also another Latina comic creator, they said, you know, this isn't like your Mexican hat show. This isn't going to be like you're going to walk in and everyone has
cowboy and Spurs. You know, you're going to hear Spurs walking down the hall.
No, I mean, you know, it really is a Latino Comics Expo because there's so much diversity in our community and everyone has a different story to tell and a different way that they show up and how they're telling their stories. And it was good feeling that, you know, I mean, you can be Latino and be different and not be like everybody else and have your own story and, you know, we don't all
we're all different. Like,
yeah,
you know, like you mentioned, like where I lacked the observance, I guess, where there's different shades of people, you know.
There's different personalities. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
so I mean,
so went well.
So tell me about the a little bit about Latina Power Panel you were on. Like, was that part of the Latin Comic Expo?
It was. Okay. And
you can go into detail with stuff. Like.
Something that Javier's really proud of is actually, like, he's one of the only expos that has a Latina power panel. And I was, again, very grateful to be asked to be part of that. I mean, even like being new to the scene, I was like, really, like, can I really be part of this? But, you know, I definitely think, like, there's a voice and a perspective when you're new at something, you know. That you bring to the table, and obviously my experience is just life that I can share. But it was part of that, and it's the first of its kind, and it went really well. It went really well. So hopefully we continue to have them, and we continue to have more Latina creators. You know, there was somebody in the audience who was like, you know, working on different projects and asking us for, like, you know, advice on, like, how to get started and things like that. And it's always nice. Because I felt like, oh, I was hurt like a year ago. And, you know, so it's nice to just be able to, like, open that door, like, past my learnings of what my experience has been so far to maybe help somebody else who is trying to get the courage to get started.
Yeah, that's good. And what I like this, I think, I don't know if this is a quote, but I know you wrote it on the description. I like where you put, like, we have to start looking at us as somebody's date, but like as their competition. I was like, that's true. Like, you are their competition. Like, you're not their date. Like, even though you're there, like, you're establishing yourself by writing something and putting it out there for the public and letting the public judge you for it, you know? And then once that happens and people like it, then they have to think of, I mean, even from like just writing itself, like, you're the competition, not their date, you know?
Thank
I mean,
you.
I don't know if I miss like, what's it called?
Misquoted that?
No, not misquoted, like, miss, what's it called when you take it away? When you
misunderstood?
Not misunderstood.
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's say misquoted, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. But I mean, that's what I took from it. I was like, yeah, you know, that's true. You gotta stop looking at other people as like, oh, she's only with her because she's only here because they're friends or something like that. When they do the same thing, like, okay, they're competition, or not even competition, they're like peers, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the backstory about that.
Tell me.
Did you watch the video?
Educate me.
Or you just read the comments?
I saw a little bit of it. A little bit, yeah.
So, somebody from the audience, we were done and there was question and answer. Somebody from the audience asked us, you know, with all of the things that are happening right now, men being called out for their inappropriate behavior.
Oh, so what's going on now?
Yeah.
Like, with the actors.
Yeah,
and
Henry Weinstein, and, you know, I mean, all of these, who's the comedian? And I really liked him.
CK?
CK, Louis CK. You know, have we experienced anything?
Okay, times.
Like that.
Times.
Okay.
All right. I mean, if you heard his stuff, he's really graphic. So, you know, he's done that. Like, a lot of, not all jokes have to be true, but they're based on some truth.
True events.
Some truth. Uh-huh. So when he's going in so much description, like, he's describing it so well,
uh-huh,
it's because he knows a little bit, like, about, uh-huh, it, you know, what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. I've heard more of his, like, parenting jokes and stuff, so okay. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, he talks a lot about, like, you know, like...
those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, time's back? Is that how it's done? I don't know. Whatever.
So, you know, we were asked if any of us in creating our comics and getting our work out there have experienced anything like that, you know? you know, and some of us shared it. I mean, I think that we've all experienced something, maybe not to that extreme, but something that made us feel uncomfortable. And what I was sharing was that sometimes I have encountered where maybe sometimes I don't feel like I'm being taken seriously for the work I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to get my work out there, and you know, and I want to do it with my values and my integrity intact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I hope everybody tries to do that.
I know, right? But definitely, sometimes in having conversations with certain people, like, they'll start flirting or, you know, asking you out or making comments, it just starts to feel uncomfortable. So it doesn't always necessarily have to be something so extreme as, like, what Louis C.K. did.
Yeah, yeah.
Or anything like that. But, I mean, just to make our male counterparts aware, you know, that, like, we're not here just to be your date, you know, or...
yeah, yeah.
We want to be your competition. And for me, being serious in this business, you know, I don't mind the criticism. I don't mind the feedback. You know, we can... give me those conversations, and if you're gonna compliment me, compliment my work, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like, oh, you know, you're so beautiful, and then, I mean, it's flattering and it's nice, you know. And I feel like I have a big head about anything like that, or you look like Eva Mendes or anything like that. I wish I did.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's your hair. I think that's
it. Must be the hair.
I suppose, like, I don't know. Whatever, guys. I'm sorry if I offended
you.
Anybody.
You were not inappropriate. All right, no, cool. That was not inappropriate.
I don't want to be Louis C.K., you know?
No, I know. Like, for...
yeah, like, people are going to stop listening to
no,
me.
No, more Angel.
All right, I'm going to probably cut that. No, I'm not.
No, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, it just to be, you know, I think in this, I don't want want to call it a movement because I feel like we've been, it's like, damn, we're still talking about this shit. You know what I mean? It's like, but you're always constantly having to re-educate people. And for me, I'm raising two young men. You know, yeah. I have an 8 and a 10-year-old boy, boys that are going to be young men one day. And it's important to me that they know, like, what's appropriate to say to a young woman, what's not appropriate. You know, are they going to be perfect? No. May they put their foot in their mouth one day? Probably.
Yeah. Hopefully, bring them to me and I'll tell them like how to fit it just right so it won't hurt their jaw, you know.
But, you know, it has to be an important part of our dialogue, you know, and not just for the acting community and the public figures and us. I mean, they're kind of getting the conversation going because they're at a level where people will listen,
yeah.
You know. But we've been experiencing that shit in our families and our communities and our schools and our churches for years,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know, and yeah. It's kept under wraps. So, like, I think if anything, that just gives us courage to keep those conversations going because they're important.
I mean, I feel like there's going to be way, way more like, like more like they're going to shine light on more of them because now like more people are coming out, you know, like. You're scared at first when you're one of the first ones, like you're scared because you don't know how people are going to take it.
Yeah.
But now that like all these women are coming out and like guys are coming out like and talking about it, like what they're like, all these people are doing to them. Like it's going to kind of like shine, like help others that are like were there or that been there or that are going through it now. Like step out and put people and shine light on them.
Well, they just I just posted this on Facebook yesterday, and Aziz Ansari, who just won a major award, you know, and you know, I love his work too. I think he's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a story out about him too. And you know, I was really myself, I was frustrated because the article I read several trying to get to the like, you know, I fact checked. You know, I think everybody needs to do that because you can't trust everything you read online. But it was hard to find the original story. But one of the stories was an article written by this woman, and she's just like berating the victim, you know, saying it was her fault, saying that she should have called a taxi, you know, like, hey, you know, you were the one going after him. And at the end of the day, you regretted what happened. And it's like, but at some point from what the other articles I read, you know, she said, no, at some point she said, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Anytime we can change our mind at any time, guys. Yeah, you can be all ready, you know, ready to go, and you can say, no, I changed my mind.
Yeah,
at that moment, you got to back down and you got to respect. Damn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, all right. Well,
yeah, so
hopefully, I really hope Fluffy, like, please, Fluffy, come on. Right now, you're the one, right? You're the pride or joy. I mean, after George Lopez, but then he came out with like. He was cheating on his wife with the
George?
Prostitute. Yeah, and then after his wife had gave him a liver, and then he went and cheated with the prostitute. So that was a big scandal. You didn't know that.
I missed that.
Yeah, I mean,
she gave you a liver, George.
I think a liver, something like that, like an organ. Like she gave. Yeah, I think it's a liver because he's like he likes to drink a lot, and then he messed up his liver.
Being shit, George.
Hey, or a kidney could have been a kidney.
Maybe could have been a kidney.
Yeah, I don't know. But
let me look up that up.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, well, change the subject a little bit. So what did you do for DSTL Arts? Like, what did you do for them? I know you were like featured, but tell the audience, you know.
I'm actually part of the writing community, and I do want to talk a little bit about DSTL Arts. But before I do that, I just want to thank you for bringing up the other topic and letting me talk a little bit about that because that's what we need as male allies is for you to like give us that space to talk about those things.
I mean, so if you want to keep talking about it.
No, I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Oh, okay, welcome. I didn't mean to cut you off, but like.
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
I wanted to focus more on you.
We don't need to talk about George Lopez and his kidney or liver or whatever. It's fine. But now I'm curious about it. But with DSTL Arts, Distill Arts, my good friend Luis Picardo, he started that organization. It's a nonprofit. He focuses on bringing the arts to underserved communities. And so he, right now he's trying to get a mobile arts lab together where basically like he drives around town and teaches art and different skills.
That's cool.
So he really tries to feature local artists, local, writers. He teaches classes, you know, and they're free. They're free to the community. And he's based out of different libraries around, like South Central and East Los.
Okay.
So you know, I started going there because I wanted feedback on my work. But he also, every session, so right now he just started the the newest session. I don't know if it's the winter one, but here in January, I think last week was the first one. And in each session, he compiles and he puts the community's work together and he puts out zines.
Okay.
And so I was able to be part of two different zines. One was an e-zine that they don't publish like a hard copy. It's just available online. Uh-huh. And you can pay to download it. That one, what, oh my God. Cuando tú eres yo. It's called Cuando tú eres yo. And it was just really basically us talking about like... a story about our cultural identity and kind of, so I wrote a little bit about like growing up as a kid and my, you know, being told I wasn't Mexican enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I wrote a little bit about that in that one. But the one that was more recent that was published in the fall, it's called, Faces of Heroes. And that came about actually because Luis and I were having a session and, you know, he was giving me feedback on the magic glasses and he said, and we were talking about the hero's journey. It's a like a tool that, you know, a lot of writers use to kind of understand like kind of what needs to happen next to your main character in the next part of the story.
Yeah.
And so he used that as inspiration and as a tool to guide the next session. And we put together stories or poetry or work with the theme around heroes.
Okay.
You know, so that zine is called Faces of Heroes or Caras de Héroes. He always does a bilingual, which I love.
Yeah.
Because he does have participants in the class that are Spanish speakers or English speakers, and he does a nice job of, you know, integrating both. But in that scene, I wrote a poem called Le Dicen Bruja, and it's really an homage to my grandmother.
Yeah, I figured. You know? I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was... because we also talked about in the hero's journey, the anti-villain, which is really like, you know, people that they may like characterize as a villain. And that happens a lot in our community, right? Like, yeah. You know, the brown people, the colored people, like we're the villains or we're the bad people always in the movies, you know, and show that like you can villainize those that you don't understand. But to me, she's my grandmother, you know, you can call her. You know, curandera, you can call her bruja, you can call her whatever you want to call her, but she's my grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, guys. Don't be judgmental. I was going to curse. All right. So what is Enchantix? Because I know you used that word somewhere and then that popped out for me. Like, what's Enchantix?
The Enchantrix. That was the children's anthology.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's all called the Illuminites Enchantrix.
See, like, it popped up to me like, oh, man, I've never seen this word. Like, let me ask you what it is. So what is it, though? Like...
That is a good question. Oh, I mean, it's the name of the anthology. I'm not really, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a book that's enchanted, you know, that's cursed or there's spells in it or whatever. It's like a spell book.
Okay.
Probably. Right. That would be my best guess.
Yeah. And is that part of your book or was it, you said it was part of the...
Of the children's anthology.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I like the picture of it with the eyes and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look cute. Kind of remind me of like a unicorn type of deal. Yeah.
Yeah, and that one's more targeted for children.
Yeah, it's perfect for me. It's right in my eyes.
My kids have it. They love it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So I read that you're a Chicana autism warrior. Autism warrior. So like, why do you consider an autism warrior?
Well, I told you that my kids both have autism.
Yeah.
And like for me, like... this whole experience of raising them and all the challenges that come along with getting them the services that they need, you know, getting them access to things that they need, that required me to bring out a whole other animal out of me, you know what I mean? Because it's not just like, oh, okay, and you passively just go with the flow. I mean, sometimes you have to get in there and like fight for things. You have to call multiple, like, you know,
like the tiger mom, I guess, like,
yeah, no really yeah, you know, if they're not getting the services that they need or that you think they deserve, or if, you know, the doctor recommends they need this medication and you don't want them to be on medication. I mean, they're hard decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
From one perspective, I mean, also from the other is just like you know, there were a lot of challenging moments where, you know, you're just not sure how you're going to get through the day. And, you know, I think that took a lot for me to understand more patience, you know, and how to take things day by day and take things, you know, all the small wins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when my youngest was diagnosed at age 2, he's 8 now, we were told like he may never speak.
Wow.
And he still has a very hard time talking verbally, okay. But he says a lot. He has a lot of language. Cool. We discovered when he was 3 years old, he could read and write. Wow. So he could read and write before he could speak. So then we utilized that as a tool to help him learn,
yeah,
and to help communicate with him. Huh. And he's just, now you get to see, you know, maybe he'll never talk the way you and I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has a wonderful personality. There's so many things he's really good at.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's like Einstein. He's just like trying to make sure he could speak like perfectly before he does, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Einstein, they say, was autistic as well, yeah, as Beethoven and people like that. I mean, so yeah, I do feel... any child, and that ties back to the magic glasses, like everyone has magic. It's, yeah, just really for me as their parent, as their mother, like trying to see what that is, you know, even when everyone's telling you all the things that they're not good at.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that they read at a kindergarten level, yeah, you know, or that they talk at a age, that they talk like a 2-year-old when they're 8, and you can worry sometimes that like, oh my God, they're so behind, but you know, you can't get caught up in that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if they ever tell you that, tell them, so what? There's this guy that interviewed me.
He just got his GED.
He needs picture books. He reads picture books, and he got his associates. You know, like, just tell him that. All right, yeah. But before we go, you know, I don't know. My butt hurts, you know.
Mine totally does, yeah.
So, I mean, won't you tell me, like, what... where can people find the book? But like, what's next for the book? He gave us like a little a preview, I guess, like maybe what's, yeah, gonna happen to her.
Yeah.
But well, make sure you go grab this book before you even hear this part. Make sure you grab the comic book so you know what the hell she's about to say, right?
Yeah. Well, want me to tell you first where you can find it?
No,
okay.
No, that could be your plug.
Okay.
No, you're going to tell people regardless. Okay, all right. But like, no, you know what? Yeah, fuck it, because that doesn't make sense. You're right.
You just said go get the book.
Yeah, go get the
book. So if you're going to go get the book, yeah, if you live in Las Vegas, then we have it available at Alternate Reality Comics. We also have it available at Tiabi Waffle and Coffee House. Here in Los Angeles, we have it available at... Heidi Ho Comics, and we also have it available at an independent bookstore in Lomita. Okay, and why am I forgetting the name of the store now? I don't know.
It doesn't really, I mean, I have the links, like, give me all the links to where it's clickable. But I mean, if you're an audible person, like, you could hear this and search at the same time. But if not, like, you could always just click on the link, it'll take you directly to
it. It's called Pipe and Thimble.
Yeah, Pipe and Thimble.
Pipe and Thimble bookstore. It's in Lomita. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So those are some of the places you can... I mean, you can always order from me directly, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's next for the book? I mean, you know, we're working on issue 2, but we're also working on making both issue 1 and 2 available in Spanish.
Okay.
You know, as we have done different events, we feel like in the Latino community, you have a large population that comes that are not English speakers or readers. I felt like, man, maybe if I had this available in Spanish, I could... broaden my audience.
Yeah.
So we're going to work on that. But in that next in the story in issue 2, as you've already given a prelude earlier that, you know, she's learning the rules of the game. So she gets to the rave, you know, she's obviously still looking for the friends, for her friends, but before she finds her friends and knows how to help them, cause they're going to get into some trouble while they're there.
Oh, wow.
she has to figure out the rules of the game.
All right.
You know?
All right. I think that's
and a find good the glasses
cliffhanger right there. I want to. I like what I want to know is who the hell is that blue-haired girl? Like that's what I want to know. It's cool. You don't tell me. It's cool. I want to find out on my own.
She gets to meet her at the end of the story.
At the end of the next book.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, I look forward to it. Hopefully, it comes out soon because I look forward to it. You know, I'm a fan of it. You know.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm a little girl at heart. Well, you know what? Like, you already told people, people where they could get the book. But why don't you tell them your social medias, like where they could find, like, they could find you. Maybe they want to, like, maybe somebody has a bookstore that they want to carry your stuff. Like,
oh, I would really appreciate
it. How can people contact you? Like, where can people find you on social media? Maybe you're gonna be at a rave yourself. No, okay, just let them know.
Well, on social media, you can follow on the_magic_glasses. And also on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Heidi's Got Magic Glasses. And there you can obviously find my email and email me directly. But a few events that are already in the works for May. There's a few that I'm like pending, you know, getting some information back from, but we are planning to be at a few different events in May. So once I have those dates and places solidified, then we'll definitely be posting them.
All right, cool. I mean, and I'll just send them to me and I'll let them know.
Thank you.
And well, why don't you give Heidi social her Snapchat, you know?
You know what? I got her a Snapchat and I just gave up. I was like, I'm such a quitter because I just can't keep up. How do you guys do it? Like three different social media accounts. I don't do it. Yeah. I just couldn't do it.
I don't even focus on my personal one anymore. I was promoted that comedy show that I was part of. I only got 3 likes.
Oh,
I was
like, man. No.
I'm like, man, I really like, I was getting like consistent likes. And then I was like, I guess all the people that I had on my personal one, I have them on the podcast one.
Yeah.
So they're going to like 2 pictures. So I was like, all right, why? Whatever.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
Yeah. True. But hey, you know, I still need them hearts. Come on. Tap. All right. Well, you know, before I end it, I like to end the episode with the game, you know? And one of the games we like to play is called Sevens. So Sevens is basically like the pyramid game or the heads up, you know, heads up where I throw in a word and I throw in a word and you have to guess the word that I'm looking at. I'm giving you clues to what it is without giving you the actual thing. So it's called Sevens because it's 7 questions and you have 7 seconds to answer each question. So it's 49 seconds in total. The highest score you could possibly get is 49.
So I have 7 seconds to answer it?
Each question. So each one is gonna it's 7 seconds.
Wow, okay.
So it's 49 seconds in total.
Okay.
So obviously every second it's a point. So okay. The longer you take, the less points you're gonna get.
Okay.
So
and be like your worst one.
No, so trust me, believe it or not, I was my worst one.
Oh really?
I got 4. Like I was playing on Thanksgiving and my score was 4. I was like, oh man. Like, yeah, whatever. I don't even want to remember it. Right. So the high score for the podcast is 37, set by Marty Moose, or as you guys know, Martin Alberto Gonzalez. All right, as you guys might know him, he was he's the author, the writer of 21 Miles of Scenic Beauty, and then there's Oxnard. And you know, I don't know what's going on, guys. 2 authors back to back. Ooh, Look at me. I remember where I was like I was thinking of interviewing myself a couple episodes just so I could have throw out episode out, and now I have like legitimate people coming on, you know.
Thank you.
It brings a tear to my crocodile eyes.
Aww.
All right. So the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, and their corresponding music. Stand-ups, superheroes, movie action, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. So what I am going to tell you is go for something that you feel I'm going to be good at. Because since I'm giving you the clues, it depends on me how what I tell you. And if I know the subject, first of all, because if I don't know anything about it, then I can't really help you.
Oh, okay. All
right. So, I don't know. Do you need me to repeat them again?
No.
Okay.
Go with the 90s.
Ooh, okay. I think this is the second time this category has been chosen.
I was already a preteen at this time. Oh, I may remember something.
So, you want 90s and like anything or 90s music?
90s anything.
Okay, sure, 90s we'll anything. All right, cool.
What comes up?
All right. Ready. Set. It's a TV show about he's a therapist. He has his own radio show, Channel 13 here. Okay. He smells like Teen Spirit. It's a band. Dave Crow was like the drummer, I think.
You're taking too long to explain it before.
It's a video game where like it's not a video game. It's a board game with the little thing and
Ouija board.
Yeah.
Did I get it?
I don't even know who this is. He's an actor.
Pass.
I can't pass. You gotta catch them all. Hey, they're like the ball is in your comic book. It's you gotta Studio catch them all.
Oh, no. Pokemon.
It's a cartoon about this little boy. He's really smart. He has reddish hair. His sister's Dee Dee. She's a ballerina.
Dennis the Menace.
He's in 30 Rock. He has his own, like, Everybody Hates Chris. It's based on him.
Chris Rock.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
So you got one. So I guess you did beat my score, which was 4. So it was Frasier. He was a therapist on the radio. Oh,
Frasier. I totally forgot
about it. That Teen Spirit, but here, Nirvana.
No, wait a second. Because it takes you more than 7 seconds to tell me anything about it.
What can I tell you? You chose the wrong category. It doesn't. I told you, go for something if I'm good at. Obviously, you chose wrong. It's not my fault. I did what I could. So I don't know. Dana Carvey, who I know he's... Now, he's the guy from Inspector, something like Turtle, mm-hmm. Turtle. I don't know. And then Pokemon, remember. You got in Dexter's Laboratory with Dee Dee. He was a real smart guy with reddish hair.
Oh.
And then Chris Rock, you got 1 point. And then Ouija board, but you got it after.
Because it took too long.
Hey, I know. That's I told you.
I don't want to play this game.
All right, so you got one more. It's the best of two, so you have one more chance. Now that you know how it works and you saw it and heard it play out right before you, so what do you want to do now?
Let's do superheroes.
Ooh, okay.
Let's see how
good I am. You're going straight up with things I'm not good at, but all right.
Let's see
you how really don't want to win. All right.
What? You asked me what I feel comfortable, not what you feel comfortable.
I'm giving the clues. The quick blank, and it's the guy with the sword. I don't even know who this is. I don't know.
Blade Runner?
The Hulk, but he's the scientist version of him.
Right.
I can't help you there. He's Spider-Man. He's a Spider-Man villain. He's like something else, not dirt, but it's like dirt. I just said it.
He was dirt?
The last Spider-Man movie, he was like the villain.
The villain in the last Spider-Man.
Okay, when you have strength, like, but it's like super...
Superhuman strength.
The Flash does this. He has amazing...
Speed.
Okay, so you got 9. All right.
Did you just give me some just because you felt bad? I think you did.
No. So I don't know who Silver Samurai is.
Oh, I don't either.
And Bruce Banner was the Hulk.
Oh, Bruce Banner.
And Sandman was her Spider-Man, like the opposite of dirt, but okay. And then I said I just mentioned who he was, Spider-Man. And then the second was Vulture. He was wasn't he the villain for like last Spider-Man?
Oh, that's right.
And then superpower, you got power, so I gave it to you.
I said strength.
Oh, there you go. And then speed was like the Flash. What is
he? So really, I just got 1.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, she got 9, so obviously she ain't winning anything. All right, but before I go, I gotta give you my plugs. All right, so you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. All you have to do is look up Let Me Know Pod. If you have a question, maybe you want to be part of the show. Maybe you have you want to add like a game or segment. Send it to me to my email at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. Guys, come on. I appreciate the support, but please go on iTunes and leave a review and leave 5 stars, guys. 5 stars, not 4, not 3, but 5. I need you guys to leave them 5 stars. And please, 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 please leave a review. You don't have to say that I'm the greatest. It helps, but you don't have to. Just leave a comment like, support Brown Podcast, whatever. But the more comments, more reviews that you guys leave, it helps not only me, but it helps my guests. It helps us be more visible. And at the end of the day, you don't have to do this for me. Like, I really don't do this for me. Like, it gives me an opportunity to get to know somebody. But it helps me try to help somebody else. And that's at the end of the day, that's all I want to do is help somebody else that I feel needs the support and might not be getting it as much as I feel they should. So, just come. Come leave a review on iTunes. I think I'm on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud. I applied for Stitcher. I applied for TuneIn. But the big, big goal is to go into Spotify. So if you know any tricks or moves I could do to go into Spotify, I would really, really appreciate it. All right, guys. Well, you know what? I think I need a drink of water. But before I go, I got to let you guys know I'm appreciative and I thank you for the support you're giving me. And thank you for letting me be part of your day. All right, guys. Well, till next time. I'll see you guys. Bye.
Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Everybody sour like a lemon tree. I'm just smiling down upon my enemies. Do the shit I love it on a daily. Say you hate your job, but you'll never leave, never leave. But that ain't gonna be me, that ain't gonna be me. My brother called me up, said he saw me on TV. I said it wasn't easy, but right now I'm living breezy. Build this engine from the ground up, now my hands they ain't so greasy. Feel me? I'm on vacation every single day, 'cause I love my occupation. Ay, 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 I'm on vacation every single day, every single day.